heading up to church, and so I hope you'll be here. We got a lot of special speakers coming. Brother Tom Stiles will be here next Sunday morning and Sunday night. He's always a blessing. By the way, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for a Thanksgiving message today. And the following Sunday, Larry Brown will be here. Evangelist Larry Brown from Washington, Iowa. He is a human spark plug. And he will be here. Pastor Seth will be preaching on a Wednesday night. And Brother Chris Barron will be preaching on a Wednesday night. If you wonder why, it's because my wife and I are going on vacation this Friday with Calvin and Rebecca and Stephen. We're going to Hawaii. And this will be the 50th state that we have been to in our 40 years of marriage, and looking forward to it. It's been over a year since we've been on vacation, so we're looking forward to this. It's been a good year, though, in many ways, ups and downs, some real hardships, but some real blessings, too. But we'll be praying for you. We're going to be in Maui next Sunday, and we were hoping our missionary, Brother Brunk, would have started by now, but he's still raising support because there's probably not a missionary on earth that needs as much support as he needs to live on Maui. But that's his hometown there. It's where he, whatever, lives. So, but we're finding some churches to go to. And 2 weeks from today, we'll be with Brother Andrew Barron, Lord willing, at his church, Ohana, there on the main island. And we hope you won't have training or anything. We'll get together with him. That's going to be nice. For that, so we're going on a cruise to four different islands, and it was paid mostly by some dear brethren that otherwise I don't think we'd be doing this. But we're very, very, very grateful for that, and I'm sure some of you envy us. You shouldn't, but I'm sure some of you do. So. Good to have Michael with us today from Tennessee. Amen. Mike got baptized Wednesday night, and praise the Lord for him. I see Dominic up there, and Drake, they had birthdays this week, I think. Barb's got one this week. We won't be here, but happy birthday, Barb. And so, all right. Well, we start with some sad news, but then we get into a solution here. It says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." That's sad news. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." And what's the next word? Unthankful. Well, we call this the Thanksgiving season in America, and that's great. I'm glad we do that. I think there's only three nations that have Thanksgiving days, and we're one of them. There's 195 nations on earth, and we all ought to have Thanksgiving days to thank the Lord. But it shouldn't be a Thanksgiving day. It should be a season that lasts 365 days a year. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Even when things perplex us, like with the dies and what they're going through, and we think, boy, all those years they were raising money to get to the mission field, and now this, and sometimes I'm sorry, I'm human, but you start thinking that way. And now they got to come off the field, and there's probably going to be great expenses with this, but in everything give thanks. There's something good that's going to come about because the Bible says we know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And we know this couple loves God. They wouldn't go to a third world country and serve him if they didn't. And they're called according to his purpose. So something good is going to come about through this. Just be thankful and just believe, have faith that something's going to good. It's going to prepare them somehow for even greater things in the future. But the sad thing is, in the last days, verse 1, people are going to be unthankful, verse 2. You see that? Now, that doesn't mean everyone's going to be thankful. It's just a general prophecy about how men and women and boys and girls are going to be in the last days. It doesn't mean you have to be unthankful. It doesn't mean I have to be unthankful. It doesn't mean we have to be like this, as described in the Scriptures. We're different. We're in Christ. We're new creatures, and old things are passed away. But we can expect the world to be loaded and filled with ingrates in the last days. Unthankful people. And we don't want to be a part of that. You know, despite this, the only other time the word ungrateful is found in the Bible is in Luke 6, and I'll read this in verse 35. Jesus, telling us about the Father, says this about him, "And he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." What a God. He's kind to the unthankful. I'm not. I don't like unthankful people. But we should be like God. He's kind to the unthankful. We talked about the world being loaded with unthankful people in the last days. But God is still kind to this world. He's still kind to people. And he's kind to evil people too. People that have never thanked him once in their entire existence, God still gives them breath, food, and drink, and rest, and health, and employment, and it just goes on how he just loads them. And you know, we probably would have been that way too if we hadn't gotten saved. But getting saved makes all the difference, as I want to show you today. Now turn to our text, which is Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter number 2, and I want you to notice with me verses 6 and 7, which we've just been studying recently here at the church. But I want to take a different take on it. We've been talking about walking and what it means lately. But in Colossians 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, verses 6 rather, and 7, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." Now he's writing to the church at Colossae. He's writing to those that have already been born again Christians. "I hope you're born again. I hope it's your testimony that you have received Christ Jesus the Lord." And he says to them, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord," don't stop at salvation. Next, "so walk in him. Make progress with the Lord. Rooted," that's going down, "and built up," that's going up in him. Get deep with him, get up higher with him. "And established in the faith as you have been taught." Now notice this, these four words, "abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now this little phrase jumped off the pages of my Bible one day when I was reading it. Did you ever do that? I hope so. Were you ever reading your Bible and God just says, "Stop. I want you to think about what you just read." And I read that thing, "abounding therein with thanksgiving." That means abounding in your salvation, abounding in Christ therein with thanksgiving. And it was like God asked me and said, "Art, does that describe you? Abounding therein with thanksgiving." And I had to say no. And I gave myself a report card, maybe a C, and who knows, maybe I took liberties. Maybe if God really told me, it would be a lot worse. Now, I believe that I'm trying to be thankful and grateful, but I wouldn't describe myself as abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'm sorry, just being honest with you. How about you? Would you say, "That's my life, I just abound with thanksgiving," and everyone sees it, everybody knows it? You know, sometimes people today abound in criticism. They're very good at that. Or they abound in complaining. Very good at that. Addicted to it, some. Some really are addicted to it. But abounding therein with thanksgiving was a phrase that the Holy Spirit really used to convict me. And I said, "Man, abounding, no. Thankful, yes, but abounding therein with thanksgiving." Wow. And then I thought about the guy that wrote it. His name was Paul. He's in prison. He's in prison. This is one of his four prison epistles that he wrote. And from prison, he says, "abounding therein with thanksgiving." And then I thought about where this guy came from. And how did he get to this point? Let me show you where he came from. Turn to Acts chapter 26. He's giving his testimony, and we ought to give our testimony sometimes. You know that? You ought to have a testimony, and you ought to share it with people. Can I tell you what the Lord did for me? And we ought to be able to just slide right into our testimony, because it'll affect them. It says they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. That's how we're overcomers. By the blood of Jesus Christ. And by having a testimony that we've received Christ and that we love not our lives unto death. That's the path to victory, is to die to self. Anyways, that's another sermon. The Apostle Paul, at least in three occasions in the book of Acts, gives his testimony while he's talking to different people. And I want you to notice how he describes himself in Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse number 10. Which thing, now this is before he was saved, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. What does that mean? He forced Christians in some way to curse Christ, to curse God or die or whatever he threatened them with. Imagine that. This guy's an animal. But it gets worse. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Who is them? Christians. So we see what Paul was. Then we read earlier what he became. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. What made the difference? Conversion. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. And so I studied the pattern. Paul's a pattern, by the way. The Bible uses that word pattern. He's a pattern to you and me to follow. Christ is our ultimate pattern. But I'm personally thankful God gave us a human pattern of a wreck of a human being who called himself the chief of sinners. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And boy, he was pretty bad, wasn't he, what we just read? So I did this little study. I won't take time to do this today, but I went through his 13 letters. He wrote 13 letters, maybe Hebrews too. But these are all the times he gave thanks. And he thanked the Lord basically for three things: benefits, blessings, and brethren. And what he thanked the Lord most of all was for people. I mean, the very people that he was killing, the very people that he was compelling to blaspheme, the very people that he was haling into prison and consenting to their death and was exceedingly mad against, he now couldn't thank God enough for him. And over and over and over he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And he wasn't lying. He wasn't exaggerating. He wasn't using hyperbole like we do. We call it hyperbole when we want to lie, you know, and use a fancy word. But I believe the Holy Spirit led him to write the truth. That he just couldn't thank God enough for his brothers and sisters in the Lord. What made a man become so radically changed? And then it dawned on me, thanksgiving is a discipline that is not natural. It's not natural in life. Any one of you that have ever had children know that's true. Your kid is not grateful. You might think they're the greatest baby ever, but we don't. Or they're the greatest grandkids ever, but we don't. We had three children. We had to teach them and train them to say thank you. or to this moment in life, they probably would still never use the words. There are three things we must do to become thankful people. Number one is growth. Number one is growth. It's natural. That baby of yours, when they're born, only thinks about themselves. They're sinners. They're little sinners. They're cute little sinners, but they're little sinners. The Bible says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." That's what it says. "Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I was born a sinner. So were your kids and mine and grandkids. They're all sinners. We got a little sinner coming in February. And we're going to love her. And Lord willing, if everything goes well, we'll do our best to influence her. But we're going to have to train her to say thank you. See, the only thing they know is to wail and scream as soon as they feel a hunger pain. They don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're sleeping. They're not going to ask you, "Does this bother you? Should I wait?" Or if they got a pin sticking in them, or you know, they did what they do, and they're not clean, they could care less about you. Really. They're just all about themselves, 100%. And then they get about 2, 3, 4 months, and by then they've already figured out how to manipulate mom and dad and how to have 2 adults in their house like puppets on a string. They already know. It's all about them. And you have to train children, if you've ever had kids, to say thank you. What do you say? Thank you. What do you say? Thank you. What do you say? Thank you. And after about 1,000 times, you're beginning to doubt as a parent, are they ever, ever going to get this? Please and thank you. Please, thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. And you teach them manners. The Bible talks about good manners. You teach your children manners. But it's not natural. It comes from growth. It comes from growth. And then sometimes they're 40 and 50 and 60 years of age, and it dawns on them, wow, did my parents do a lot for me after all those years? It finally starts dawning on them. Boy, I can't believe how much mom and dad did for me growing up. It's a result of growth. Now, this word here in our text of Colossians chapter 2, in verse 7, see the word abounding there? It is a word that literally means to go from a bud to a full-grown plant. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Just as we have seen in the physical realm, there's never been a baby born that just starts saying, please, thank you, please, thank you, thank you. There's never been one. But as they grow, those become good manners. Good manners. And you don't have to say, what do you say? Thank you. What do you say? Please. Eventually, they grow to where they start saying thank you or please. But not in the last days. Not in the last days. It's terrible the way some kids are treating their parents nowadays. Their parents are really trying hard, too. But anyways. Growth. This word abounding here in verse 7 means to go from a bud to a full-grown plant. Now, one of the things that used to grow good at our house was called impatience. Do you know what impatience are? There's no T on the end. It's not impatience. It's impatience. That's the name of a flower. And you go to the greenhouse and you get them and they're about that big. And in the little packs. And then you take them home and you transplant them. And you feed them and you give them Miracle-Gro and all that kind of stuff. And when you get it out of the pack, it has about 2 little really bright flowers. I like impatiens because they're really bright. And you put it in, it's got 2 little flowers on it. But if you got the right soil and you put Miracle-Gro on it, that thing becomes a bush about this big with hundreds of flowers on it. That's the word abounding. All right? The same is true spiritually. That is true physically. You got to train a child. Please, thank you. What do you say? Thank you. What do you say? Thank you. What do you say? Thank you. And it's the same thing spiritually. As we begin to grow in the Lord, we begin to bear more fruit. And in the area of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a natural discipline. It is a product of growth in life and spiritually. 50 years ago, November 1969, I got saved at the West Falls Bible Church. And I went to that church for about 9 more years, except for the time I was in the Army. I got saved there, baptized there. I got discipled there. I met my wife there. She got saved there. She got baptized there. We got married there. That church meant a lot to us. But I never thanked him once till after I left that church that I can think of. The thought never came into my mind, you know, I ought to thank these people for what they've done for me. Why, I was a babe in Christ. But when I left there, and especially when I just started to get into the ministry and saw how complex that can be, it just started, as I was growing spiritually, I was beginning to realize how much they did. How much, my Sunday school teacher, my pastor, and all the times he'd pick us up and give us rides to church and to brigade boys and to youth time on Saturday nights in Buffalo and to missions conferences. He'd pick us up if my dad was working on the farm, make sure we got there, and my Sunday school teacher and everything. It was quite a while later where I matured to where I said, you know something? I owe these people a debt of gratitude for all of eternity. Amen. But now, I have thanked them over and over and over and over again. Anytime I've gone there to speak at the church or the men's breakfast or something, I said, you know, before I preach, I want to say something. Amen. I want to thank you. And then it dawned on me one day, somebody's kept that church open for 125 years before I walked in and got saved. I'm glad that church didn't close. Amen. Churches closing break our hearts. Churches closing down the road. Today's their last Sunday at New Hope Baptist. More than ever, we need this church in Perrysburg. More than ever. And I think God is setting up something there. Maturing. As I begin to mature in the Lord, I have become a more grateful person for the people that have helped me and or work with me. Number two, thinking. It's only 3 points. Thinking. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7. Growth precedes thanksgiving. Thinking precedes thanking. Amen. Thinking. We don't have a lot of thinking today. We've got a lot of indoctrination. But we don't have a lot of thinking. But the more you think, the more thankful you'll be. Notice that in this text. Paul says, I thank my God, verse 3, upon every, what's the next word? Remembrance of you. To remember someone, you got to think. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 7. Even as it is meet or fitting for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Notice the word remembrance in verse 3. Notice the word think in verse number 7. The more we think, about somebody or something, the more thankful we will be. My wife of 40 years over here has prepared food for me over 30,000 times in my marriage. Food prep is something I don't know anything about. I'd be dead without her. I have to die before her. I just have to. I don't know what I'd do. But when you think about things like that, I mean, when you really think, say, wow. One of the pastors that profoundly, profoundly influenced my life, I don't think I'd be in the ministry without him. He was way up in like his 70s. He made the comment that he had prepared, he'd been in the ministry for over 50 years. He had prepared over 15,000 sermons. And we tend to take them for granted. But some of you that have ever prepared sermons, you know the work that goes into it. 15,000. And he did that all for others, with the hope and intention that he'd help other people. The more we think, the more we'll thank. Think about the policemen in our town that have to be up 24 hours a day. Somebody has to be driving around town while you're sleeping, while I'm sleeping. They're trying to keep the road safe. They're trying to keep our neighborhood safe. They're working with some of the worst people you can imagine on earth so we don't have to be bothered by it. And you start thinking about that and you start thanking them. When you think about our freedom, how we're the longest lasting democracy, America, in human history under the same constitution. And you think of the 1.3, 1.5 million military personnel we have right now who are active, on guard, 24/7, in 150 different countries, mostly embassies, but some places as peacekeepers, some places in conflicts. And when you think about our lifetime and in my lifetime, only once have we been attacked in my lifetime. Some of you were here for Pearl Harbor. I wasn't, but Pearl Harbor, 9/11, but you just think about the almost uninterrupted peace and safety and quietness that we have in America. I'm saying to you this morning, today, if you'll think, you'll thank. Think about all your mother has done for you. I mean, just really think about that. Think about your father going off to work every morning. Some men I know one man, he leaves for work at 4:20 every morning. He's got four kids. Comes home, plays with them. Goes to his church for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, missions conferences, never misses anything. Four kids that probably don't thank him yet because they're six and under. But I hope someday they'll have an epiphany. Amen. I hope someday they'll have a realization, wow, Dad went in the snow and in the rain and in the cold and in the heat and the more they think, the more they'll thank God for their dad. Amen. You think about your parents. They weren't perfect. There's never been a perfect set of parents except Adam and Eve, and they blew it. And you'll thank them. You'll be thankful. Thank the Lord. Think about your church and what it does, not what it doesn't do. Don't be critical, but think about what it does do. Think about your president. Think about the senators. Think about the representatives. I wouldn't want to be a politician for 5 seconds. But we need some public servants who will give their lives to take all of the criticism and all the things the newspapers write and the radios say about them and the newscasters and the media say about them, and they're pretty much defenseless to be able to defend themselves at all. But we need them. Look at the countries that don't have constitutions or governments and the anarchy. And you hide behind bars and fences in your house with no one to protect you. Think about the missionaries and their sacrifice leaving our country. And what they leave behind from America to go to a third world country? Think about them and you'll thank the Lord. Oh, there's so much we could just think about. Think about your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Think about those that serve, and public servants, and those at the schools that educate you, and doctors. And yeah, you know, I know doctors make a lot of money. I wouldn't want to be a doctor and just listen to people's problems every day, try to fix people up. And they get so little gratitude. General Patton said in all of his career as a general, only one of his soldiers wrote him a letter and said, "Thank you for taking good care of me. You tried your hardest in a bad situation to take good care of me." He says he never forgot that letter. Think. Number one, grow. Number two, think. Last of all, observe. And we'll close with this. Observe. Observe. And you'll be thankful. A man wrote this letter, and we'll have prayer. I don't know who he was or where he was, but he was in a big city. And I got to change some of his words because it's so outdated. He said, "Once I was ill-used." Now that's like saying today, "I'm a victim." Yeah. Everybody's a victim today. You know why? Because they're not thankful. Yeah. Anyone who's thankful is not a victim. Because by far the good that you have experienced in your life and the good I've experienced in my life by far outweigh the bad. Amen. And the evil. Amen. But he wrote this. He says, "I was a victim because a slight accident had disabled my right hand. Taking a walk through the crowded streets of my city, one day I met a man who had lost a leg. Another who had lost an arm. I saw a blind man. I saw two deaf people. I saw a young girl whose face had become terribly disfigured in an accident. I saw an old man who could hardly breathe, who was coughing. Two funerals passed me by as I walked the streets, and a van full of prisoners. After that, I arrived in front of the mental hospital. When I saw the people inside of the mental hospital, I made up my mind that I should be very thankful that I am not as bad off as thousands of more deserving people." What changed him? Observation. Observation. When you literally look at others, I remember being bitter because my grandma or my mother died of cancer. I was 4, and all I had was a father. But I've seen too many orphans who neither had father nor mother. And what happened was I was taken from a situation where my mom died and put in my grandma's house. And the thing about Grandma and Grandpa Cole is they not only had 6 children of themselves and then took me and my 2 brothers in, but 35 foster children. And you kind of realize, hey, you know, I don't have it so bad. Some of them were only in for a few days, few weeks, sometimes a few months, a couple of them for a few years. I still remember Rick and Joe Doyle and Dave Close. They were like brothers when I was growing up. You look at some of our missionaries, you see those missions here? Some of those people we support are running orphanages. I didn't have it bad at all. I had a good dad who tried under terrible circumstances to do his best. Observation. Observe. You won't be a victim. You'll be blessed. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for your help. Lord, We're not born thankful. We're born sinners. We need a Savior. But we're so glad there is a Savior. And thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And we're thankful that, like Paul, there can be an amazing transformation in our lives. We can be exceedingly mad at people. And then become thankful for the same people through conversion. Lord, help us to do three things if we're going to be thankful. That is to grow spiritually. To think about your benefits, your blessings, the brethren. And to observe how hard others have it. And truly we'll be thankful. God help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
What is thank you, Lord?
217. Let's close by singing together. Now sometimes we maybe should just confess sometimes and say, Lord, I haven't been thankful. Maybe you go and do that today. And come to the altar and pray. Maybe just thank the Lord for something or somebody. Or just for God himself. 217, as we find it, let's stand together.